Hello, friends. I'm Dr. Tim Tootin, the pastor and founder of Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland. I just wanted to tell you that I'm so glad you're taking time to listen to this sermon. It is my hope it'll lift your spirits and then motivate you to move out of your comfort zone. Stay tuned now for a message from Harvest Christian Ministries. It's already in progress.
Praise God, just hearing that ought to do something to you. That God is so good and so gracious. And even though you don't think you have faults, we all do. But the fact that he looked beyond our faults and our mess ups and our issues and saw what we really needed. Anybody been in that situation before?
That's because we know each other so well. Let's bow before the Lord today. Father, we come in the name of Jesus, in the strong name of Jesus. There's power in that name. There's deliverance in that name. There's healing in that name. There's joy in that name. There's peace in that name. As we come today, God, we ask even now that you might make sure that we decrease and that we might get out the way that you might increase. Save someone today, encourage another, and when this time is done, we'll give your name all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. We can rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for each of you in the house. And even those who, during the course of the week and the day, check in on us on Facebook. Thank God for that medium. There's a lot of stuff on Facebook, but thank God you can put the word out there as well and reach people to the glory of God. There's a word from the Lord today that comes from the book of Revelation. There in the third chapter, Revelation, verse number 20, it reads, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." I want to preach today from the sermonic title, "Knock, Knock, Who's There?" A few summers ago, my grandsons thought they were doing something real big when they cornered me to say, "Pop, Pop, we want to tell you a joke." I'm thinking, okay. And they did what we did back in the day. Knock, knock, who's there? It's almost impossible to get the right answer because you don't know what they're putting out to you. So they got me good. As I prepared today's message, I called them up. I said, "Hey, this Pop Pop, and I got something for you all." "What is it?" "Knock, knock, who's there?" The spiritual edition. "Knock, knock, who's there?" "Heaven." "Heaven who?" "Haven't seen you in ages." After I got him on that, I doubled back. "Knock, knock, who's there?" "Noah." "Noah who?" "I know a man who will build you an ark." So I told them that I was going to bring it out today. So the competition goes on. I'm sure they will get me back. Nowadays, few people actually knock on your door. They actually either will ring the doorbell or they will press a doorbell that will in turn give a video that you'll ask the question, "Can I help you, please?" I've said over the years that folk ought not just show up at your house anymore. In the country, you just did that. Let's go by and see so-and-so. Nowadays, if somebody knocks on your door, you say, who in the world is at my door? I'll peep around the curtain. But times have changed over the years. This morning I want to really use that metaphor, that word picture, for you to see Jesus Christ standing at the door of the church. And that's what he's doing. If you ever have one of the old Bibles, you'll see when it comes to pictures, you'll see Jesus, an image of Jesus knocking at the door. He is not forcing his way in. Essentially, he is outside because the church will not let him in. What do you mean by that, Reverend? The church is the body of Christ. The church is not a building, but Jesus, even in 2019, is knocking on the door of our hearts. The book of Revelation is a book that is referred to really as the revelation of Jesus Christ, filled with mysteries about things to come, might cause the hair to come up on your arms, but it is about the final warning, about judgment. The book of Revelation gives us a glimpse of heaven. A few years ago, thanks to the Harvest Church, I got a chance to take a tour with some other students from my seminary to Turkey and Greece. And one of the places we stopped was along a route of the seven churches of Revelation. We stopped in the cities of five of those churches, had breakfast at one and lunch at the other. But there was one particular area that we stopped was Laodicea. And that is the church that Jesus writes about today. It is the church that he says, as he has John to write that letter from the Isle of Patmos, there where he's in prison. He said, say this to the churches, to the people of Laodicea. He had already accused them of being lukewarm. He says, I'd rather you be cold or hot, but I don't want you to be lukewarm. Otherwise, I will spew you or spit you out of my mouth. As we were in Laodicea, there was a body of water there. As I walked along, I could see that on one side of that body of water, there was ice. On the other side, there was heat. And I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, what kind of stream is this? But it made sense what Jesus was talking about. In that region, there is a body of water that is cool on one side and it is warm on the other. And he's saying, I'm using something you're familiar with. I'd rather you be one or the other. Amen. The Laodicean church was complacent. The church was rich. The church was self-centered. The church did not want the Lord's presence. If we're not careful, we'll find ourselves in one of those categories. I know you're saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. But this letter was written to Christians saying, straighten up and fly right. Yeah. Amen? As John wrote those letters, as he was inspired by the Lord Jesus Christ to let them know that Christ is knocking at your door. So what led to this word? Oftentimes, it's things that happen in our own experience. Like you, I got a busy schedule. Like you, I'm somebody. We run ourselves to the end, don't we? Yeah, one thing after another. And so during the course of this week, I was in my move, on the move, and seemingly I felt a nudge. I experienced a knock on my heart. And what it was saying in so many words is, you need to slow it down. And you need to give me more of your time. Can I just testify today? I don't know about you. I get busy. And if you're not careful, things would begin to crowd your time out with the Lord. So I was convicted this week when it came to just slowing it down and just making more quality time for Christ. Not there yet. Still working on it. But that thing stayed on me all week. So now there's your sermon right there. Knock, knock. Who's there? I knew who was there. And I politely took time to open my spirit man up and allow him to come inside. It's freshened me. My thinking is anew. I feel better now that I've been obedient to the knock. Have you ever heard the knock in your own experience? I mean, the knock that gets your attention when nobody's talking to you. When you're driving in your car and you hear the knock. When you're at home on the job, you hear the Lord say, I need more of your time. I need more fellowship with you. Jesus is still on the outside. He's still knocking on the doors of our hearts.
Instead of our saying, who's there? We're just giving him the egg game. We're just ignoring him or pretending that we don't hear. Don't leave me out by myself today now. I'm just talking about me. But have you ever had that kind of experience? That you knew that you'd just been a little too busy. But when times were tough, you were spending time with God. When you were at your last wits, you said, Lord, I got to spend time with you. But once things got better, once you went to the mountaintop, and once you experienced some joy, you said, well, Lord, I'll get to you, but not right now. Some of us know that we're not night people. So I'm going to be with the Lord and get with him at night until you fall asleep. I'm a morning person, and so I try to spend time with the Lord in the morning. Well, that said, I believe we must place our lives in a position to receive, to respond, and to retain. Verse 20 says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. Scholars say that Jesus didn't knock softly. That if you made that to video, he was actually pounding on the door of the church. He was trying to get their attention. It was not a easy knock. It was a, you know, I'm out here. And when the Lord does that, we have to be in a position to hear what thus says the Lord. I think of my roommate, Joe Ritchie. He was something else. His trademark was to come by your apartment and try to take your door off. I mean, I knew it was him. You know, even though I knew he would just go to and just start banging the door as hard as he could. I said, man, what you doing? Two, what's going on? I said, I about need a new door. But that's what he did. I knew it was him. And that's what the Lord does in our own experience. He's not been softly banging on the door of your hearts. He's been pounding on the door of your hearts. Am I on your street today? That he takes time to knock on the door. This specific church had those particular issues of thinking they had it all together. And the moment we think we've got it all together, Satan will fool us and say, you know, you are all that and a bag of chips. But it's always great to get a reminder. No mistaking his knock. It is unique. It is spiritual. He knocks on the door that is shut. He says to his disciples, I am the door of the sheep. And there was a place when the sheep came, there was a sheep's door. And he says, I'm doing something that you might relate to. I am at the door of your heart. Will you receive me? But not just that. There ought to come a time when we ought to respond to that knock. If anyone hears my voice, Jesus has never been accused of breaking and entering. That's not the way he operates. If you watch the news long enough, you'll see there was a break-in today. It was forced entry. If you've ever had your house broken into or had your belongings compromised, it's a hard feeling to see where somebody just broke their way in. You had the best lock in town, but a thief found some way to get in. Jesus will not do that to us. It boggles the mind that we know we need to be forced, but he won't do it. Isn't that amazing? He gives us free will. He will not bust his way in. He will not force his way in, but he wants you not just to hear the knock, but to hear his voice. He will come in if he's invited. He has something to say. Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. How does he speak? He speaks in a small, still voice. The Bible talks about the storms came and the wind blew and the floods came. But, oh, that must be God. But he speaks in such a unique way. Do you hear my voice? Amen. He speaks by way of his holy word. He speaks to us by way of his Holy Spirit. And because we are saved, the Spirit of Christ resides in us. He speaks often through circumstances. I'm going through something right now. You just don't know where I am. God is speaking. Greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. He's speaking through circumstances. And he will speak through other people. You can't tell me nothing. God might have sent that person just to tell you a thing or two. They can hope you. Amen. Never dismiss what someone is saying. Hear them out. God used a donkey to speak. Oh, Balaam. He talked. He said, you're going the wrong way. I'll make the donkey speak to you. Hearing his voice. It is our responsibility to respond to the voice. And so often there are distractions. There are things that crowd our lives. There are things that are important, but they get in the way of our hearing the knock from Christ. Well-meaning things, but they get in the way. I was just laughing at the cell phone. Now, they'll let you know how many minutes you were on. Like, you came under this week. You were 32 minutes less than you did last week. We spend a lot of time with these things. If you're not talking to them, we're doing something with them. They're part of our life. But Jesus teaches us, as he did in Matthew. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. And look at this. Knock, and the door will be open. He knocks, we knock. Knock, knock, who's there? Responding, receiving, and then retaining. I will come in and eat with that person if they let me in, and they with me. That sounds like a dinner date. Yeah. Amen? Amen? King James says he will dine with us. Yeah. He'll come in. Don't ask what's on the menu. The fact that he wants to sup with us is a huge deal. Amen? Amen? Amen. What's he going to order? I'm going to order some peace. And some joy and some understanding and I'm going to order some forgiveness. But isn't that amazing that once you finally open the door up, he comes in to your space, to your experience, and says, I just wanna hang out with you for a while. I just wanna dine with you and you with me. What an invitation to have the King of Glory to come into your experience and to spend. He really wants to spend time with you. When you go to pray, it's not really about you. He said, oh, you got time for me now. Amen. And so during the course of the week when I was all Mr. Busy, man, I put that thing down in low gear. And when I did, I could hear his voice better. When I did, I could order from the divine menu because I realized he wants to dine with me. He wants to fellowship, wants to give me some spiritual food, the kind of food that will stick to your ribs. Y'all country folk know that. I mean, grits will do that. Amen. Man, you eat grits, that'll last you just about all day. I ain't say cream of wheat. I say grits and some taters. There's some stuff you don't need to be saying, I'm hungry again. Can we go by the deli? No, there's some stuff that'll stick with you. And what he gives us will stick with us. It will satisfy us. And we'll be saying, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Here's the bottom line. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be given to you. But you got to hang out with me. But you got to let me in. But I don't want to come in the back door. I want to come in the front door of your heart. Anybody want to let him in today? Let him into your experience.
an old song from the gospel radio that talks about the mother. And her son is sick and they're on the road. And they say, can somebody get a doctor?
Yeah.
Well, the doctor's nowhere nearby, but we'll try to reach one. And while she was waiting, she said, do y'all have a closet? Mama went up in there and says, come on in the room. Said, Jesus is my doctor. He writes out all my prescriptions. He gives me all of my medicine in my room. Do you have a room today in your heart to let Jesus in and let him stay for a while? Now, if you let him in, he might rearrange some things in your heart. If you let him in, he might move some furniture. If you let him in, he might change some attitudes. If you let him in, he might improve you, but you got to let him in. My God, that's the first step, is to let him in. I began this sermon talking about knock, knock, who's there? I'll end that way. Knock, knock, who's there? Almighty God. Knock, knock, who's there? Alpha and Omega. Knock, knock, who's there? The author and the finisher of our faith. Knock, knock, who's there? The bread of life. Knock, knock, who's there? The beginning and the end. The first and the last. Knock, knock, who's there? The good shepherd. Knock, knock, who's there? I am that I am. Knock, knock, who's there? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the light of the world and the Prince of Peace and the rock in the weary land and the resurrection in the life and the shelter in the time of storm and the true vine and the word of life and the way, the truth, and the life. You want to know who's knocking on your door? I'm glad you asked. It's Jesus who's knocking on the door of your heart. Oh, songs, I heard the voice of Jesus saying, come unto me and rest. Lie down, thy weary one. Lie down, thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary, worn, and sad. But I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Aren't you glad about it today? Old David says in Psalm 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Anybody glad today? To glad to know that he'll never give up on you, even when you give him the... He'll keep knocking on your door. I'm just trying to get in. I've got something for you. That's why I'm knocking. You know who's there. You know who's knocking on the door of your heart. Now you won't be the same, not because somebody gonna stop by your house this week. You say, who? And you'll be reminded. I hear you. I receive it. I respond. I'll retain it. That is the word of God today. Come on, stand today all over this place.
Thanks so much for listening. I want to tell you about a couple of other ways you can be inspired, of course, by CD, but you can also listen to our sermons on the website we have for you. It's www.cometoharvest.org. That's come2harvest.org. Or by way of sermonaudio.com. That's sermonaudio.com. All you have to do is to search for Harvest Christian Ministries. You can also listen to our daily devotionals. They're new and they're really gaining popularity. They're called Seeds of Encouragement. You can get them by way of iTunes, from podcasting, or from Facebook. Either way, we want to inspire you on a daily basis. Have a great day in the Lord. I'm Dr. Tim Tuden, the pastor and founder of Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland. Be blessed.